This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 158. You can find me at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and there you'll find the show notes. And today I want to give a shout out to three podcasters who are going to be joining me on the show on the topic that we're going to be presenting, What I Wish I Knew When I Began Homeschooling. And you can find them on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. The first is Suzanne Nunn with FPEA Connects, and you can find that show on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And Suzanne is the chairman of FPEA, which is the Florida Parent Educators Association, a big conference here in Florida. And I had asked her, I said, well, where do we rank now? Because I'm from Florida, too. And she goes, well, we're actually the largest convention now. So it's amazing. And she's one of our podcasters. And then Jean Burke with College Prep Genius. She's going to be coming on. And my good friend Meredith Curtis with the Finish Well podcast on this network. And you can find out more about Meredith on the website. And Meredith and I podcast on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com the first Monday of the month typically, and we talk about all kinds of topics. We have a blast doing it, and there's a lot of prayer that goes into that podcast, and we are always so amazed when God dovetails our talks together. And I don't know why we're always so excited and happy when that happens. It's just confirmation to us. So we're going to hear from Meredith in just a little bit. And today our topic is What I Wish I Knew Before I Began Homeschooling. And so this is going to be a fun topic for me. I probably have a list of about 100 things I'd like to share, but I've narrowed it down to 5, and I'm going to share along with Suzanne and Jean and Meredith a little bit. A shout out to our sponsor, MediaAngels.com, and we'll listen and hear more about the sponsor in just a little bit. And by visiting our sponsors, you help us on this network get great sponsorship, and we really appreciate you guys and appreciate you listening to our show. And also, as a thank you to us for bringing you this free podcast and our free podcast network, we are celebrating the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network's 3rd birthday, and we're giving a big giveaway. And you can thank us by sharing the information about this podcast, Vintage Homeschool Moms, as well as the other ones on this network, and join us for our celebration, especially in the month of October. We celebrate all the time around here, it seems, with lots of free downloadables and that kind of thing, but we really do it big for our birthday celebration. So we're just really excited to be sharing that information with you as well. All right. So what did I wish I knew when I began homeschooling? Well, I'm an educator turned homeschool mom, and was a teacher that was going to become a principal and change the world one child at a time. Soon found out that this excited teacher was going to have to deal with bureaucracy of the public school world and even the private school world to some extent, not quite as bad. But I just found early on that if I wanted to do something really amazing, I had to go through all this red tape. And by the time I was done, I was exhausted. And I didn't last in the system that long, and then ended up taking on the system when I had a child that needed some extra help. And found again the bureaucracy that I had left behind to stay home and raise my son and daughter was still alive and well, and found that there are so many wonderful teachers, even wonderful principals and administrators, but the fact that so much is I can't even begin wrong with the way things are are conducted, let's just leave it at that, that I wasn't going to be able to fit into that system. And so the first thing I wish I knew when I began homeschooling was not to recreate the school system or the school in the home, because I was trying to emulate what I was used to with the desks and the chairs and the back then we didn't have marker boards, we had blackboards. And although I love my marker board and still have one and loved my blackboard, it was not the same thing with homeschooling my children. I soon found that I was more interested in the curriculum that I was selecting and finding the perfect things for them to learn rather than finding out what they needed to really, bring their education full circle. And not only would it be educating their minds, but their characters and their heart as well. And it wasn't found in a book or a recreation of the school within the home. And I, like I said, I learned that very early on. I found that one of the things that I shied away from was this thing called unit studies. In fact, kicking and screaming, I actually tried a unit study because I was so opposed to the whole notion that you could take a concept or a topic and surround your homeschooling toward that topic and just, by immersion. And the teacher in me was saying, but what about spelling and what about writing and what about reading and all these things that are so important? And I found that for us, through unit studies, that we were writing and we were reading and we were doing spelling and we were looking up words and definitions. And we just actually loved unit studies so much that a big part of our homeschooling surrounded the study of unit studies. And I've got some podcasts on vintage homeschool moms that you may want to look up. One of the great features I don't talk about enough is that if you go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com and that front page, there is a search feature and you can search the entire website on any topic you want. And we have hundreds and hundreds of podcasts on the network now, and you can find almost any topic that you're looking for. And if you don't find a topic you want, just let us know. We're happy to bring that topic to you. One of our podcasters will. And so I found that unit studies were fabulous for us and it worked really well. The second thing was that I wish I knew that my kids would become the best of friends. I had no idea how close my kids would become and how much they would enjoy each other's company. I know a lot of times, brothers and sisters fight and that's just kind of a normal thing. And God bless me with boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. So I didn't have the two girls together, or the two boys together in age. And I have a little span between the first two children and the last three. But it didn't matter. My kids were friends. And I remember when my daughter was getting married, my second oldest child, Christina, and we went out to a really nice dinner restaurant. And my daughter and my son-in-law were going to be, well, he wasn't my son-in-law then, her fiance were going to be telling the children that they were getting married. And Mikey, who was all of like four at the time, started crying. And I looked at him. I mean, he was inconsolable. It wasn't just a little bit of just crying. I mean, he was sobbing. And I was, went from sitting next to me to on my lap. And it was, what's the problem, Mikey? And finally, he said, I don't want Christina to move. I mean, here is this little boy who already loved his sister so much. He couldn't even imagine that. He knew what getting married was, which was amazing. Mikey always was a little bit, little smarty. But he just was upset that his sister was going to be getting married and leaving. And I even have a picture today that's in a frame. And Mike, looks like he's been crying, but it's the cutest picture of him and Christina at this restaurant because she came around and got him off my lap, and he sat next to her at dinner, and she reassured him that she wasn't, you know, leaving town, that yes, she would be living in her own house when she got married, but that, you know, he could come and visit and spend the night. And my kids did. The three youngest spent many nights over at Christina's house and with my amazing son-in-law. And so I had no idea that my kids, even though their age ranges could be vast, would be great friends. One of my daughters, another daughter, I have two daughters and three sons, recently accepted a scholarship offer to play softball, and she's in Maryland and I'm in Florida, and I'm missing her a ton. In fact, it's taken everything in me not to just fly up there and say, okay, let's pack it up and come on home. You know, even though I have all these children, I like them all to be around me. I guess which mother doesn't, right? But the other day I was talking to her brother, and, you know, and he was saying something, and he was kind of grouchy and upset. And I said, you know, hey, what's the matter? What's wrong? And he goes, well, the only person that really made it bearable around here, you know, to just hang out, and she's gone, you know. And he was upset about a couple of other things and his brother's, you know, whatever the deal was. And it was nothing earth shattering, but it was just like, I was surprised, you know. I knew I missed her, but I didn't realize how much he would miss her. And they would just hang out and talk. A lot of times I would have to, you know, go into their rooms and say, go to bed. You know, it was so funny. At times we would have family over and my kids would, you know, happily give up their room, and we have a little pop-up camper, and they would set up the pop-up camper on my side of the house where my bedroom is. And, they would be out there. The three youngest would be laughing hysterically about who knows what. And I would have to call out there and say, would you guys please go to bed? You know, it was, I mean, my husband and I, of course, enjoyed it. And we're smiling, you know, from ear to ear in our bedrooms as we're trying to get to sleep. And it wasn't even that the windows were opened, or it was, you know, winter time where, you know, living in Florida, by the way, you're probably thinking, what do you mean winter and leaving your windows open? Yeah, I live in Florida. And so in the winter, a lot of times we have our windows open. It's beautiful. You have to come visit. And the kids, you know, we'd have the windows closed and the air conditioning's on and their AC's on, because, of course, they couldn't hear us. But, we, you know, we could hear them. And we would be like, hey, you know, what is going on over there? And then they would tell us whatever was the hysterical thing, and because they couldn't wait to tell us whatever. And I didn't quite think it was that funny, that whatever dead roach they killed and flipped on somebody else's bed and that person was screaming was that funny. But, you know, as in the recounting of the story, I could hear them laughing hysterically. And who would know? Who would have thought that homeschooling would allow your children to, you know, grow up to be these great friends? And you know, I come from an Italian family, and sadly, I only had two younger brothers. You know, my mom didn't have a lot of kids, and it really wasn't by choice. But, you know, my younger brothers and I are really good friends, and a lot of it is because my family really focused on us, and when we vacationed together, and they really did not, my mom and dad did not encourage outside friends. And I'm the opposite. I mean, especially homeschooling, you know, when you go on a field trip or you go do a group activity, your kids want to bring back, you know, half of the homeschool kids there, right? A lot of times we'd have to have talks when we were leaving, and I would say to the kids, all right, I know we're going to see so-and-so at this field trip, but we cannot have anyone. I'm really big in not spending the night. As my second oldest daughter now with her own little kids that homeschools, she said, you know, she loved spending the night, and I really frowned upon it. Kids could come here, but I wasn't really big on having a lot of that or my kids going anywhere. In fact, I hated my kids to go anywhere, and we pretty much said no. But, you know, it was something that I had to say to the kids, okay, you know, you're going to be seeing your friends, but we're not going to be getting together because we have this activity to do, or we're going to go shopping, or I had to have something planned just because I didn't want to let my kids down. And maybe some of you are listening are a little bit stronger than I am and can just say no. but it was amazing. And in doing that, yes, they had friends, but every time they had a really close friend, and this happened to all of my children, every single one of them, either their really good friend that was homeschooling friend went back to school or moved out of town, or something happened where it was mostly they moved or they went back to school if they still lived in town. And I really would be upset, and I would be praying to the Lord. And I know some of you feel like I do. You want your children to have that best friend that you may have had in school and everything else. But, you know, God has other plans. And I think a lot of that in his plan is that our family is to bond together and our kids are to become friends. So that's one of the things I wish I knew when I began homeschooling. We're going to listen in on what Suzanne Nunn has to say. And again, Suzanne Nunn is with FPEA Connects. Let's hear what she has to say about something she wished she had known when she began homeschooling.
Hi, listeners of Vintage Homeschool Mom. This is Suzanne Nunn from FPEA Connects. First, I want to congratulate Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on another birthday celebration. And I'm happy to have a chance to talk to you today about one thing that I really wish I had known when I started homeschooling. That one thing is this. It is not set in stone that there is one good curriculum or one right curriculum or one right method for homeschooling. This is something that you're going to learn on your journey, that as you find out what works for you and as you grow, and as your children grow and change, there's just no right way. What is right is the way that you choose and the things that you choose to put together. That can be like us, an eclectic mix of everything, or it can be that you do find just that one curriculum that fits you perfectly. But don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Feel free, feel the freedom in homeschooling to just explore what works for you, and not feel the pressure of others around you and what they do. And just find that encouraging. And I want to encourage you to choose those things for your family and make sure that you are keeping the most important things first, and that is taking care of your needs and your family's needs. I would love to have you join me on FPEA Connect. And also, if you have any other interest in learning more about FPEA, you can visit us at www.fpea.com. Thank you, and I hope you have a great day.
Well, I love that, and I agree. We're eclectic homeschoolers with bringing in a lot of different methodology or, our unit studies, as I shared with you early on. And there is definitely not one right curriculum. Suzanne's right about that. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to share with you some more of my wish I had knowns, and we'll be right back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American History and an American Government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon. Well, hi and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is episode 158, What I Wish I Knew When I Began Homeschooling. And as I shared with you, the first couple of them was that curriculum or recreating the school in the home isn't the answer, and neither is, just having those friends and that school experience that I didn't know that my kids would become each other's best friends. And the third thing is that I needed to slow down. I am really driven by not necessarily goals. I'm not really great at setting goals, but I am driven on outcomes. Like I want to get this book done, or I want to finish at a certain time. I wanted to be done with school by, let's say, the month of May. And so, what was my homeschool going to look like, and how did I want that to work out? And so I found that, that I needed to slow down a little bit. If we finished a book, which you will do homeschooling, I don't ever remember finishing a book when I'm talking about like a math or a history book when I was in elementary school. Do you remember finishing a book? I don't. And so not only would we finish one book, but I would say, oh, wow, we finished our math curriculum. Well, let's start another one. Let's do next year's. And my kids sat with me and said, Mom, the idea of homeschooling is that we get to have time to do some things that we want to do. And, I've learned so much from my kids, and I probably need to podcast on what I learned from my homeschool kids, and I probably will at some point. But they taught me that, more is not better, and that, I needed to allow them the time to explore their needs. And in fact, that's a pet peeve of mine right now, that I really believe that kids need time. They need time to think. I've talked about that in my podcast in the past. The other is one of my sons sitting me down and saying, Mom, you need to let me be a kid. He finished his high school curriculum pretty early on, and we ended up having him do some dual enrolled classes. In fact, Mike is still in the midst of that as of this recording. And no, he didn't do college in 2 years or that kind of thing like he could have, because he wanted to be able to play sports. And so, his dad and I sat down and we discussed it. And my husband's a lot wiser than I am, and he thought that was a good idea. And so that's what my son's doing. He's taking a few courses and he's doing some stuff at home. And, we're rounding out his education, not necessarily with, the four math. I don't think he'd ever let me do that. Oh, let's do some more math, Mike. But, I had to learn to allow him to be a kid and to slow down a little bit. And then the fourth thing was how it would strengthen my family. How it would help us all in our relationships with each other. We've had, the normal ups and downs in families, and then, the things that happen, like the deaths in the family. My mother died some time back, and just some different things that have happened, as my in-laws get older, and there's some memory losses and things like that. And I have just been amazed at how my family has rallied together, at how, some of my kids have gone over to Grandma and Grandpa Gerwitz's and mowed the lawn and washed the windows and have just been selfless in what they've done, and just really have been so helpful. And, it just continues to amaze me how strong we've become as a family. And I didn't know that. I really had no idea that homeschooling would do that. And I think part of the strengthening us as a family is we did so many things together and we continue to do things together. In fact, my daughter, who's married and has all my wonderful little grandkids, we vacation, and a lot of times, you know, she wants to know where we're going and wants to come along, and we've camped with them before, and that's been so much fun. Or we had, you know, tickets one year. I bought the family tickets to one of the parks that is close by, and it was so much fun to do that. And so we have just gotten stronger as a family, and it's just been such a blessing. Well, I'm going to have you listen to Jean Burke with College Prep Genius, and Jean has a podcast on this network as well that she and I do together, and she's going to discuss with you what she wished she had known when she began homeschooling.
Well, thank you, Felice, for having me on your Vintage Homeschool Moms Forum. I am so excited. Congratulations again. Another birthday. How cool is that? So glad for you. You're doing an amazing job, and I'm just really proud for you. This is Jean Burke with College Prep Genius. I have a podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show, and I'm just honored to be a part of this amazing venture that's really taken off and just probably gone beyond Felice's wildest dreams. I can see that. Just doing amazing. So glad to be on here. I just kind of want to give you a brief kind of what I wish I knew back when I first started homeschooling. You know, I don't know if you've heard my story or not, about starting my program, College Prep Genius, and learning about how to take an SAT, PSAT type test. But, you know, when my kids were little, you know, I didn't know any of this stuff, and, you know, we were just plugging along, you know, hoping things were going to work out someday, and, you know, not really even thinking about college. And, you know, it wasn't until the end of my son's ninth grade year when my friend happened to mention to me about the fact that it was free college available based simply on a test score. I mean, I didn't know that 85% of colleges admitted and gave money on test scores alone. And I found out, like I said, toward the end of ninth grade. And so it was something that we really worked on, and with my son going through test questions and him becoming a National Merit Scholar and, you know, throwing away those seven trash bags and my daughter getting scholarship offers and starting a program. But, you know, if I would have known that when my son was younger, when my daughter was younger, I would have been able to really take it at a lot slower pace, incorporating some logic into our classroom and some critical thinking and doing just a little bit of prep and realizing the importance of the test. I think a lot of times people don't know. They think it's just, this is extra. But, you know, there's nothing that you can do that can earn your child hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of scholarship money outside this test score. And so, I, you know, as a speaker, I really encourage parents to start early. You know, it's a skill. Test taking is a skill, just like golf and like piano. And it's something that anybody can add to their school, because it's really all based around logic. And so if you don't have any critical thinking or logic skills or academics in there somewhere, games, puzzles, put those in there, because it's going to be like a natural step into test prep if they've been doing that over a period of years. You know, you can make test prep an elective, and so, you know, start your kids early. You know, it can pay off big time. You know, sixth grade, seventh grade, something that you can spend maybe 15 minutes a day, and, you know, for the families that I talk to now, you know, they're able to put time on their side, which is something that I didn't have. You know, fortunately it worked out for us, but, you know, you don't want to be in that situation where you are scrambling at the last minute looking for some way to squeeze test prep in. But it really has paid off. I mean, the possibility of your child getting hundreds of thousands of dollars of scholarship money or free grad school or free law school, those can all be a reality. And, you know, just like anything else in school, you never want your child to cram, because it doesn't work. So take the pressure off them. Make it important. Make it a part of your daily school, because by the time that they get to high school and it really starts counting for scholarship money, you know, test prep just becomes second nature to them. So, you know, I think math is great, science is great, English is great. All those things are wonderful, and they're important, and we should be doing them. But none of those things will get you free college. So along with your math and along with your English and everything, you know, add that in there as well, so it can make a huge difference. I know it's changed our life, and I've seen you know, tens of thousands of people's lives changed, you know, just based on changes the way they think and changes the way they view test prep as something that should be a part of your daily school. So, you know, again, this is what I'm hoping for everybody. You know, don't wait till the last minute. It's something that you can add in. And these tests are learnable. You know, they're logic tests. And it's why anybody can do well. Anybody can get that amazing money, free ride all the way. And, hey, it happened to us, and we're nobody, and so it can definitely happen to you. So thank you for having me, Felice. Again, congratulations. What an honor. I'm honored to not only be on your show, but to have you as my friend. So thanks again, and wishing you many, many more happy birthdays.
Well, even with all of my years of education background, I had no idea half of the things that Jean has taught me with College Prep Genius. On the podcast, I had no idea that, you know, scoring high on the PSAT would be so important. And Jean has some amazing podcasts, so you want to go over and check those out, as well as Suzanne Nunn with FPEA Connects. And I want to thank both of those ladies for coming on today. And now we're going to hear from Meredith Curtis. She is a personal friend of mine. I have known Meredith for some years now and just have been blessed that she's been here since the beginning of our podcasting journey with the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. So let's take a listen to what Meredith wants to share.
Hi, listeners of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is Meredith Curtis from Finish Well Radio. First of all, congratulations on another birthday celebration of our network. I'm delighted to talk to you today about what I wish I knew when I began homeschooling. Let me take you back in time to 1991. I was a young mom, my husband was in seminary, and we decided to take the plunge after much prayer and research. So there we were, and I was filled with fear, I just have to admit it. Will I ruin my child? What if I forget to teach them something they need for life? I was a wreck. But little by little, I watched others around me do it, and soon I was a confident homeschool mom. One of the things that made me confident is that God doesn't make mistakes, and over time I realized that I am the perfect mom for my children. That gave me so much reassurance, and I realized that God would speak to me, and God would lead me and direct me to teach my children the things that they needed to know. Another thing that I wish that I knew when I began homeschooling was that God's word and his ways work all the time. You know, so often we say, oh, I believe the word is true. Oh, I believe in applying biblical principles. But we have kind of a back door or a backup plan. But so many things that we put to the test in our life, God proved to be faithful. From things in our financial realm with tithing and living debt-free, to teaching our children how to resolve conflict from Matthew 18. We would say to our children, okay, now you go to your brother and just the two of you try to work it out. And if you need any help, the Bible says to take someone with you. And we're going to have that person be a mom or dad. Our children learn to walk through conflict and not to run from it, not to be manipulative, not to take revenge, but to walk through conflict in a biblical way. And that's just because God's word has all the answers that we need for living successfully and a life full of joy. One of the things that I wish I had known when I started was how important reading out loud is. Now, I love reading, and I loved reading out loud to my children. But if I could go back, I would read out loud to my children even more than I did. Some of our fondest memories are of Mike reading to the children before he put them to bed at night, or me reading whatever our history lesson or science was aloud, and of course reading the Bible and reading stories. I wish that looking back, I had made more time for reading, because we had plenty of time, you know, for getting other things done. And I always left reading to the end because it was the fun thing. It was the icing on the cake. But I wish I had given it more of a prominent, preeminent place in the day, because I realize as I wrap up my homeschooling so many years later, that reading is so foundational for all of life, for all of learning. And I just appreciate so much to have my parents and how much they valued reading and that they passed it on to me. Another thing to do with reading is that it really benefited my children to read out loud to their siblings. That was something that I don't think I started at the beginning, but down the road I did. And wow, what an impact that made on their brothers and sisters. Another thing that I realized is math is the foundation of science. Math is the foundation of engineering, and it's necessary for medicine and so many different career fields. So I began to ask myself, oh, wow, like what is important and what's not important? And are there any just basic tools of learning? And I came up with the 7 R's. I already talked about reading. I just mentioned arithmetic. Then there's rhetoric or communication, research, and writing. And those are learning tools that if you hand them to your children, they will be able to learn any subject, anytime, anywhere. But along with those learning tools are life tools. And those two are the 2 more R's, relationships and right living. You know, so many people struggle with relationships. And I realized years later that those times of learning to love each other, learning to communicate, learning to walk through conflict, those would impact my children for the rest of their life. It would determine the quality of their friendships. It would determine the quality of their marriage and their own parenting. So building good relationships in the home is so important. And along with that is building a heart to do what is right and to live a holy life. And one thing that I tried to instill in my children was to love what is good and hate what is evil. I think if I could go back, I would show them how much fun it is to be good. I think sometimes when I was, you know, trying to teach them to live for the Lord, I could get into this kind of, you know, okay, we don't do that, we don't do that. And, you know, I realized, here I am in my 50s, I realized, you know what? The Christian life is fun. It's filled with joy, and God blesses you when you live for Him. And so I think I would have, you know, reminded them all the time, it's awesome to serve Jesus. It's a delight. And not just that it's good. It is good. It is wonderful. And we want our children to be pure. But I wish that I would have told them more how fun it was to serve Jesus. The last thing that I wish I knew when I started homeschooling is that transitions are the hardest. Learning to read was a challenge for all of my children. We used Sing, Spell, Read, and Write, which I loved, but we got to this one point. It's called the Ferris wheel, and it was where they learned initially to blend sounds. And that was like a nightmare for me. We would sometimes spend months on that thing, and I would think, my kids aren't getting it. They're just not getting it. Ah, you know, I would go crazy. And I didn't go crazy, but you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, one day, it just clicked. And that was a transition, you know, learning to take a sound and blend it with another sound. Years later, of course, I began the joyful experience of transitioning kids from childhood to adulthood through that treacherous waterway called puberty. And I loved my teenagers, and we had a great time during the teenagers. I actually really, really enjoyed my teenagers. But there were a lot of struggles and cuts and bruises through that transition time. I wish that I would have known how hard it was, that you had to work really hard to win your child's heart back if there was a breakdown in a relationship, that friends could influence your children so much and seem in an overnight to eat away things that you had drilled into them. There are just so many insecurities that I didn't know my children would have, because I thought, well, of course they know that I love them and my husband loves them and God loves them. But I wish that I would have known that it would be so hard and that you would have to struggle and fight. And I am so glad that my husband and I struggled and fought and did everything that we could to be supportive and loving and bring our children into a place where they were living lives that were full of joy, full of success, and most of all, that they loved Jesus with all of their hearts. I am so grateful for the privilege of homeschooling. It has been one of the great privileges of my life. I have loved every minute of it, even the minutes that were really hard, because I was with my family, I was with my children, and building memories that last forever. I hope that you will look me up on the internet. You can find me at joyfulandsuccessfulhomeschooling.com or meredithcurtis.com or finishwell.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And again, happy birthday, Ultimate Radio Network. We're so glad you're here.
And it is such a blessing to hear from Meredith. She has such a wealth of information, and I just so appreciate her friendship. I've actually spent the night at Meredith's house more than one time, and she's been over here as well. Just blessed to have her alongside me on the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show, and you will glean a lot of information from her, from her books, and her podcast, so check it out. And I want to share with you my last important thing that I wish I had known when I began homeschooling. And this one's kind of a interesting one. And the fifth one is how my insecurities would become my triumphs. And there are some things that we go into homeschooling fearing, okay? Like we don't want to do music, or we don't want to do art, or we don't want to do math, or for me, it was I did not want to do science. Now, those of you who are listening to me, maybe for the first time, have no idea why that would be funny, but it's quite humorous because Media Angels, which is the publishing company I know, started off with some key curriculum that were unit studies and their creation science based. The first book I wrote was called Teaching Science and Having Fun. And I would get up in front of a group and speak on the topic, and I would say, this book's title is an oxymoron because when I was a student, I hated science. As a teacher, I hated science. And as a homeschool mom, I hated science. So what am I doing talking to you today about science? Well, I had children who loved science in my first two in particular, and my fourth child just shocked me to death because she didn't love science as much as the first two did, and now is telling me that she thinks she wants to be a marine biologist. That came out of left field. Your kids will continuously surprise you, and that should probably be point six. What I wish I knew about homeschooling was my kids will continuously surprise me. But my insecurity about teaching science turned into not just one book, but quite a few books on the topic of science. Two novels or three novels that my daughter and I wrote, Christina, my second oldest, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series, you know, as well as just an entire company that's based on that. And, you know, it was amazing how God turned my insecurity around. And when my son really loved nature studies and I started watching him and watched what made him light up, it wasn't the books, it wasn't the perfect curriculum. You know, I kept thinking, oh, if I have the perfect curriculum, I'm going to have the perfect homeschool. It wasn't that. Not that the books were bad, but they weren't the thing that was going to spark that aha moment. Do you want that aha moment in your homeschool? Do you want your children to say, hey, mom, you know, can I take out the science box and go outside and, you know, do science experiments? I mean, I had my kids say that to me. Do your kids say, oh my gosh, here we go again, we've got to do school? Or are they excited about what you have planned or what they're going to be learning? And that's what I urge you to do. You know, in the series that I'm doing this month, it's, I think, like some of the points that I found were stumbling blocks to moms having that great experience with homeschooling. And that's what we want for you. Yes, every day is not going to be perfect. Yes, there's going to be days when you're going to want to, you know, just chuck it all and be done, or, you know, threaten your kids with putting them in school. I know for my kids, that was something they didn't want to do. So that was a really good threat, you know, for me to do that. And if you listen to the other podcast I did on relationships, I was that threatening, repeating parent that didn't mean what I was threatening. And unfortunately for me, my kids soon caught on. And so I learned I couldn't do that. And I think, that for us, homeschooling turned into a wonderful experience for my children, not because of what I did, but because of what I allowed them to do. And I'm going to leave you with that. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us and rate us on iTunes. That would be such a blessing for us, as well as checking out our sponsor, MediaAngels.com. Thanks so much. God bless and take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.